was just thinking this morning about the communion and, you know, how God saw when the temple was there and the curtain was there and the curtain said, there's no way in for you. Keep out. And down through the centuries, the many centuries, God had to deal with people according to their sins. He had to deal with the land of Israel according to the covenant that they made. And the covenant, if they broke, came with it horrendous curses. And that was the price of failing the covenant. And Jesus said it was finished. And the curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. God said, oh, at last. And ripped the thing down and said, come on in. And, you know, that's kind of what we're celebrating this morning. God says, come on in. I don't have to judge you anymore by what you can do. I'll put a picture on the wall. I could have been looking in a mirror, couldn't I? And I'd have seen that. Which one are you? And I was thinking, you know, the world we live in talks, it's complete nonsense, of course, but talks about perfection and professionalism and being what the world thinks you should be, what the world thinks is really great and really wonderful. And there are all kinds of things. A friend of mine has just started a life coaching. That's not driving, by the way. That's just helps you through how to meet your goals, how to be the one that you're supposed to be, and all that stuff. It's all really great. I wouldn't sign out. There's no point. But there's so much help, isn't there? There's counselling. If you think you're a little bit troubled about something, there's somebody will counsel you. And the whole aim is that it will bring you through to your perfect manhood or womanhood. And you'll be really, really happy. And everything's going to be great and the sun will shine every day. Well, providing you like the sun shining every day. And we get to the church. And we can have the same thing. It doesn't change. Jesus died for me. That's great. So all I've got to remember is I mustn't do this. I mustn't do that. I've got to go there, do that, and read that. And if you don't, you're not a real Christian. And God's going to get you. Oh, by the way, he loves you as well. But he's going to get you. And we can live under the fear of that. The fear of God. There is a fear of God that we need to learn. We don't really appreciate how big he is. He could not even bother doing that, and I would cease to exist, and so would you. If he had a bad day, you would be in serious trouble. And there are things that we do. There's life coaching, how to be a Christian and fulfill your destiny, and all this stuff. My destiny actually is to stand in the presence of God right now for the rest of my life. And when this old body that shuffles around and started creaking actually, when that finally goes, I will go and be with him and I will look at his wonderful face and he will look at me, and I might be a little bit shaky, I must admit, but he will be saying, do you know, I've been waiting ever such a long time for this. Come on in. And he won't say, do you remember you did? And I told you not to do that. Oh, it would have been so good if you hadn't done that. But no. If you think of the parables, you are the treasure that was buried in the field. And the man came along and discovered it. It wasn't his field. And he sold everything he got and he bought it just so he could get the treasure. And that's what basically we've celebrated this morning. You were a treasure buried in this world. And Jesus said, I love my Father so much that I am going to give myself as a ransom so that he can have you. The good thing about it, and the devil hadn't worked that out yet, was that God actually brought him back. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so which one are you? Living in God's strength, and that is the... How do we think we live in God's strength? We live in God's strength, and yet we still sign up to the White Knuckle Club, and we've got to do it, we've got to be it, we've got to... Or mustn't, or something, anything. God said, no. Live in my strength. When you know you can't do it. Now that's not an excuse for us just to trip out, flop out and think, oh, I'll just bring it on, I'll just do my thing and at the end it's all glory. No, it's not that. There's a lot of work. We have to own our salvation as a life. There are things we have to do. The Bible says put off, put on, put to death. Stick with it. Trust me. There's a whole load of stuff we have to do. And again, actually, there are life coaches that will help you do that. Won't do you any good, but they're there. God says, I will be all that you need if you only trust me, walk with me, and obey me. When you sin, you have an advocate. The blood of Jesus actually is there forever. And you'll be glad to know, you aren't that one whose sin wasn't covered. The only one, oh, it's just me, oh, sorry, Lord. Do you know, God is so able, and he was so, there's a lovely song, it's No Longer a Slave to Fear. I won't sing it because I'll clear the place, but one of the words in there, it says, you chose me from my mother's womb, and I love that. You know, God watched you being formed in your mother's womb, let alone chose you from it. And in fact, scripturally, he saw you before the foundation of the world. Which, I can't quite work that out. I'll stick with the mother's womb bit. But that's how God sees us. Okay, so we're going to read through some verses in Colossians. These were really good folks. They were doing well. Paul didn't found this church, but he was writing to them. And he had to write to them because he needed to remind them of the deity of Jesus and his the all-sufficiency of the salvation that was won through Jesus Christ. It was completely sufficient. Didn't need anything else. There were false teachers came in and they were saying, well, actually, faith isn't enough. It's no good you just believe in that stuff. What you've got to do, and there was a whole load of stuff, and then it all got very mystical, and there was kind of Gnosticism, what that is now, just means I know something you don't know. And they got into kind of worshipping angels and all sorts of diversionary tactics that the devil does. And it's no different today. We can do that in this church too. And of course, they were coming back to observing Jewish rituals and laws and yuck, stuff like that. None of that is going to help in any way for them to live a Christian life. Is it Isaiah 30, somewhere around there? Isaiah talks about a message from God. Basically, he was saying to the Jewish nation, I'm trying to get you to know me, and I'm trying to get you to realize you cannot do it. You have to trust me. And so I put this obstacle in your way, and you found a way around it. And I put another obstacle in your way, and blow me, you got around that. And I made it really harder for you. And somehow you got some strength from somewhere and you kept going. And now I'm going to do something else. But at the end of it, he said, I long to be gracious to you. And God says this morning, I long to be gracious to you. Don't get hooked up on trying to be something you cannot be. Look at history. You know, you cannot be it. I want you to be it, and you must be it, but you can't do it. I will give you a life that naturally fulfills that. And I'll give you something else on top. Got a little gift for us. It's really good. And let's just read this through so you know what I'm rabbiting about. So this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We're writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant and is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honour and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so that you'll have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. You lived in a kingdom that made big demands. You've now been transferred to another kingdom that makes even bigger demands. Jesus said, you have heard it said, if you look at that woman, if you commit adultery, rather, that's wrong. But I say to you, even if you just look at it, he made it as there was no kind of, or shouldn't have been, any doubt left of the impossibility of pleasing God by our own strength, by our own efforts. We need something else. Well, we've got a new life that's in us. The nature of that life, which is growing up, which is what these folks are growing into, naturally keeps God's law and does everything he pleases, because it's his very own life that is shared with us. Wonderful. The problem is, the old me still lurks around and he hasn't quite got the message that it's no longer in control, and in fact doesn't actually agree with that. So what do we do about it? I was thinking about the disciples after the resurrection. They were all in a room with the door locked. Why was the door locked? They were hiding. They were scared of the Jews. Oh, Jews are outside, they're going to get me. And so they locked the door. Fortunately, Jesus had his own set of keys, because he turned up there without bothering opening the door. He said two things to them. What did he say? What was the first thing he said to them? Peace be to you. What was the second? Well, that wasn't the second, but what was the last bit he said to them? I'll tell you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And these were a bunch very, very much like us. Get scared, get it wrong, get it right sometimes, on occasions. But really didn't get it. didn't get the point. Jesus got really frustrated with them. He said, how long have I got to be with you lot? He didn't quite see the point of what he was trying to teach them. But then he said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and he will teach you, and he will help you, and he will give you ability. Acts 4:31, we see the disciples are in a very dangerous and a very, very hostile environment. And they prayed that they can speak the word of God with confidence. And they said, God, would you put forth your hand to heal and do great wonders through the name of Jesus? What happened next? I'm not going anywhere until you say. What happened next after they prayed? Do you not remember?
God answered and called the Holy Spirit.
The place was shaken. The place was shaken. And they went out with great boldness and did amazing stuff. That's how we need to operate. Lord, I can't do it, but I'm willing to do it. But Lord, will you give us what we need to do it? Will you give me the boldness to speak to that person who I might not even like? I might even be a little bit anxious about how they're going to react. Will you give me that love and that boldness? It's really the love that actually releases your boldness. If you love, you cannot fear and love at the same time. If you love by the Holy Spirit, if you can receive the love that he wants to give, he will take you beyond your fear. And it doesn't mean you'll be necessarily confident at that point, but you will be able to do what he wants you to do. How do we live our lives? How anxious are we in our salvation? How certain are we? How certain are you that if God said, right, pull up the drawbridge, you'd be on the right side of the moat? How sure are you of your salvation? If God turned up now and said, right, all of mine come over here, what would you do? How sure would you be? Would you be running? We have to live in the reality that heaven is always open to us, that God's ears are always open to our cry, that his eye is always on us, because that's what the Bible teaches, that's what the Bible's for. We need to read the Bible and start believing what it says instead of trying to analyze the thing. And the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in his strength. Ephesians. Okay. Power, 2 Corinthians 9:10, power is perfected in weakness. You can't do anything about your salvation except put on your salvation. Put on Jesus. There's nothing in you that is righteous. There is nothing in you that can live before God. But now there is, because you've got a new life, and God is well pleased with you. How do you see God? How do you see God this morning when you walk through that door? How do you feel it? Has he got a bit of a downer on you? Oh, she's here again. I know she's going to sing. I've got to listen to this stuff. Do you think that's what God's like? God is delighted. You know, he was the first one here. He always gets to church early. We have to acknowledge our weaknesses, but we don't have to be controlled by them. We have to seek the Holy Spirit's help in everything. It's an active salvation. When God shows you something that you're not where you are, or you're not doing what you should do, or you're doing what you shouldn't do, or whatever it is. Some things, obviously, you can just stop doing out of obedience. There are other things that are not quite so easy as that. We have to be willing to, if necessary, take time out and be determined to seek God and say, Lord, I want to know in that area of my life, I want to know your life. I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to see that. I don't want to react like that. I don't want to be scared of that. Whatever it might be. We have to seek God. And God has designed it in that way. Because the one thing that God wants is that you should know him. And he wants that. That's what salvation's all about. Paul's prayer that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, he obviously does now. And so will we. But that came from the heart of God. None of us sitting here this morning are unknown to God. You might not know him, but he sure knows you. And he loves you to bits. And that is the truth of it. Salvation is a very, very serious thing. It's not a joke. It costs somebody everything. But the way to live it is to trust the one who gave his life and was brought back to life, that you could live in him. And that's what God wants. He wants us to live in joy. Have you got joy this morning? Are you anxious? Are you nothing? Sometimes you can sit in blanco and you can feel like that sometimes. Sometimes I've let the Lord down. Well, there's a big surprise. Because I've never done that, but you might have done. Doesn't matter. Don't be surprised when you try and do something out of God and it doesn't work. God allows you, in his love for you, to fail. Don't make a big deal of it. Just move on. And just get back to loving God. Okay, really, really quickly, because I need to finish this then. Psalm 68, God is awesome in his sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. And as just a reminder that we live in the presence of God. We are called into heavenly places. We can live in the sanctuary. We have the right to be in the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. So we have to believe. How do we get faith? How do we get faith to believe all this stuff? By the word of God? Yeah, absolutely. Where does faith come from? What's faith? It's a great little word, isn't it? Faith. What is faith? You sure can't see it. Faith is something that God gives to us, and it gives us the ability to know and understand the things of God. If God did not give us that ability, you would not know. Where is it? John somewhere or other. John 5, where Jesus said, nobody can come to the Father except through me. Nobody can know the Father unless I choose to reveal him. And then he says it, I think, a bit further on round the other way. We can't know God unless he chooses to reveal himself to us. The fact that you're sitting here, you might wonder what on earth it's all about and what you're sitting here for. But God has done something in your heart, in your spirit. And this is just the beginning. This is not where it's at. And it's to walk with God in his presence. And is his ability. Living your life, doing the things that you need to do in your life in fellowship with him, with his help. And doing the things that he wants you to do in his presence, in his life, is exactly the same. Okay. So, you can tell me this because I need to know this. How can I grow my faith then? We've heard one. We need to get to find out what the Word of God says, and not what people that write books say necessarily. find out, what are the promises of God to me? What about salvation? What's God done in my salvation that guarantees that it's going to happen as long as I do my part? But what else do we need to do? I can read the Bible. We've got to apply it. Is there any help in doing all that stuff? Yeah. Does God give us any help? Yeah. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And he helps us. He helps us to understand things. He connects us together in love and fellowship. He can make me aware of a need that you might have. And I can ask God, miles and miles away from you, completely unaware, but I can say, Lord, I've just got a burden for Jesse, and this is the burden. Lord, do that. You know, God is delighted when we, in love, cover one another's sins, and he's able to move. It's how the body has to function. I will never do it on my own, and I was never designed to. I need you lot, and you need me. I think I've got a better deal than you have, but that's how God wants it to work, and it's the Holy Spirit that connects the whole lot together. And we need to pray for each other. We need to cover one another. We have to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be offended by somebody such that I cut fellowship, because they're in danger as well as you. The only way you can stop being offended by somebody is to bless them out of their socks, and the only way you do that is to ask God to do it for you. He can change the situation when he wants to. Doesn't always. Sometimes you have to die to things. But then that's good, because you get life out of that. Okay, so we need the Holy Spirit. We need to move in the Holy Spirit. We need to fellowship in the Holy Spirit. What's just only one, and it's not proof that you've been filled with the Spirit, but to speak in another language is a gift that God gives us, and it's a wonderful gift, and it's lovely actually to hear more and more now people babbling in the background, but it's lovely that people are getting more bold to actually speak in an unknown language as the Holy Spirit gives. We don't even know what we're praying, but the Holy Spirit does, and it's a really powerful and wonderful thing to do. It makes you more sensitive and tuned in to God, for a start, by speaking in tongues. And it's great. Sometimes you want to pray for something and I don't know what to pray. You can say, Holy Spirit, look, I don't know what to pray, but I've got this burden. I'll just speak in tongues. Will you pray it through? And just trust that he will do that. It's a weapon as well as a wonderful, it's not a toy, it is a tool, a tremendous weapon, but it's a point of fellowship as well. You can praise God, and we need to praise God, but you can get a point sometimes where you kind of you run out of praise words, really, and woof, off you go, and you're off into another realm, and the presence of God is there. You know, we've got huge treasures that God has given to us as gifts, helps to walk with him. And we need to do that. We need to live in God's strength. And we need to support one another in that, and to encourage one another, to strive together for the fellowship of the gospel. You know, there is a striving. There's a wrong striving, and we've done some of that. But there is a striving together. You know, I'd love to be able to say, I haven't got any enemies. I've loved them all to death. You know, wouldn't it be great? But we need to go down that journey. And I'm going to stop there. But everything comes down to our growing relationship between me and God. If I hold fast, then I'm of some use to you guys. Because when you get down, as you do, when you sort of get tired and weary from trying, and you get scared and you don't get answers for a long, long time, you don't get answers to big problems, sometimes somebody can just come around you and say, look, let's just lay that down. God's with you in that, but let's just give you a bit of rest from that for a minute and just move into the presence of God together in fellowship. That's what we're called to do. That's why we're here. Okay, I'm going to pray. Is it okay, Mr. Leader? I just would like to say if there's anybody here who really isn't too sure what being saved is, if you're not too sure if you're a Christian or not, then I'd really like you invite you to come down and some folks would like to pray for you and talk you through. If you really are struggling and don't know if you're filled with the Spirit or not, or you don't get it, again, come down. And again, if you are filled with the Spirit, but you really struggle speaking in tongues and you'd like to have a go, come down and we can pray for that as well. Okay, let's just pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. You can stand somebody up and get them to say stuff, Lord. And Father, it could be anybody, Lord, because, Father, your Holy Spirit is the one that does the work, Lord. Father, we speak out your word, but he's the one who performs it, Lord. Father, just want to thank you that you've called us into fellowship with you, Lord, that we are yours, Father, forever, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Father, for each person in this room this morning, Father, that, Lord, that you will take us on from this point, Lord, at whatever level we are with you, Lord, that we might know you, Lord, not that we might know we're Christians or we might know something, but that we might know you as Father, Lord. So, Lord, I just want to commit us to you now, Father, and thank you. Amen.